Hey, Drex, the war in Ukraine officially started. Apparently they rolled tanks and are firing at Kiev.
I mean, Ukraine stands no chance.
We know they don't.
really, what are they going to do?
The last time we had something similar to this was Russia and Georgia. That war lasted 8 days, and the Russian military utterly annihilated the whole country. Like, the country was like, we're surrendering.
Yeah.
Because they didn't stand a chance. Ukraine, on the other hand, they also don't stand a chance, but they put up a longer of a fight. They have a bigger military, a lot more modern equipment. Like, the Russians, I don't think, took a single casualty in the Georgian War. I would say they would take casualties in this war.
Here's the problem. If you are the weaker force and you know you're not going to stand a chance in a head-on collision, you might want to not get involved. You know what I mean? Like, you might want to not wind up in someone's crosshairs. Like,
well, that's what Iraq did, right? Like, as soon as everyone realized how fucking strong the U.S. was, most of the army just deserted on Saddam Hussein.
Oh, yeah. Once they got there, once they got to the palace and all that. But at the end of the day, people need to be more worried about why these people are there, because they always have a much more insidious agenda. Like, whatever someone says in the media, that's not why someone's there, right? If someone says, hey, I'm going over to this place to do this, no, that's just a front. I mean, look at Jeffrey Epstein, right? Oh, yeah, he killed himself. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. Like, it doesn't matter what it is. Like the civil rights movement, right? Like, I'll talk about briefly tonight. Like, anytime somebody's trying to give you something or say they're doing something, that's never the real goal. So demilitarize Ukraine, huh? That's a nice word choice.
It sounds like all those helicopters are probably firing rockets at the line of control. Because they have, like, legit trench warfare there. I have a buddy who was in Ukraine 2 months ago. And his family's from the eastern part of Ukraine. They're ethnic Russians.
Well, I'm hoping that they send all the stunning and brave women to the battlefield.
Oh, did you see the tweet from Jack Posobiec? He said Putin may have more tanks, but at least they don't have gender inclusion.
Yeah, dude, if the U.S. got into an actual full-scale war, dude, the U.S. would get fucking crushed.
Oh, they know that. That's why no one is
absolutely crushed.
Did you notice how everyone very quickly said, well, good luck, Ukraine. We'll sanction him, but we're not actually going to do anything to help you.
Yeah.
Because they know. Like, they don't want to fight Russia. Russia wants to fight the U.S. You know, it's always been little dog versus big dog, right?
Yep. Yeah, the U.S. is so done, man. It's only a matter of time, you know, when the military is completely cucked. And, you know, you have whatever that general is, it's like, bruh.
Oh, yeah, like, the trans general and that two moms army ad. Yeah, send the two moms to the front line. Let's see how well that works.
Yeah, it's an embarrassment. Because, yeah, when you go against people who actually are there to fight, and then you're not, you know, you're there for gender studies, it's like, trust me, you'll get fucking rolled over. Fast.
All right. Well, let us hit the show intro. Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 65 of the MGTOWN Podcast, your only weekly source of the show that debates whether Justin Trudeau or Joe Biden is a worse leader. As usual, I'm producer Tim. Joining me is the mayor of MGTOWN, Drexel. Say hi.
Hello, everybody. Happy Black History Month. Next month, we got Women's History Month because of reasons.
The good news is that St. Patrick's Day is coming up, which means another Phil and Drexel live stream.
It's always great working with Phil.
That's the only thing to look forward to in the month of March, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Well, if you're in a cold climate, you look forward to the weather not being, you know, negative 30. So, I mean, there is that.
Oh, God, it's so cold. Drax, we said this about, before the show, but have you ever had a computer warn you that its temperature is too low?
No.
Yeah, that's what I came into the office and discovered. I'm surprised a pipe didn't burst or something.
Oof. Yeah, usually you gotta go, you gotta keep your, even if you, you know, you go out of town or something, you have to keep your heat to like 65, just in case.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've heard of horror stories, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Someone's like, oh, yeah, I'm or God forbid, someone's dumb enough to turn the heat off or turn it too low. It's like, yeah, now your pipe broke.
Well, and the worst case scenario is you have a hot water tank explosion.
Yeah.
Because it will just keep leaking water until someone comes and shuts it off. So I've especially on commercial properties, everyone goes away for like the Christmas holiday. They come back and then suddenly the entire basement is an ocean.
Yep.
And it's like you did so much damage to the foundation. Like they got to knock the building over.
Yeah, well, it's stunning. It's stunning that, like, the damage that can be done. It's like, damn.
Well, you live in a major city, too, so every time the weather gets this cold, don't you like seeing all the construction vehicles pop up on the side as water mains burst everywhere?
I mean, it's to be expected, you know. It's one of those things that, you know, you accept when you live in a cold climate. You know what I'm saying? It is what it is.
It's like, Jesus Christ, it's Minnesota. How deep do we want to put the water line? Not deep enough to get below the frost level? Okay, we'll do it. What do these guys think?
It's a complete joke.
Like, you know this, right? In very cold climates, you put the pipe very deep underground. And the earth insulates it.
Yeah. Well, that's the plan. Just like with your cable. Like when someone says, do you want cable or do you want satellite? Like, yeah, about that.
Yeah, dog digs in the backyard and cuts off TV for a week. I can't complain too much. I have a Cat 5 cable that literally is strung across my back patio into the garage. That's what feeds all my equipment.
Oh.
Just a naked Cat 5 cable. You know, nothing fancy. And then I drilled a hole through the side of the house and then filled it with silicone and insulation.
Whatever it takes to get it done.
Well, I didn't want wireless out here because I wanted a reliable, stable connection. So I wired in a gigabit Ethernet router. So that's why my production computer is always so good. You know, until it's not fucking Canadian internet.
Well, I keep hearing about this Canadian internet. I don't know what is it that makes you guys' internet terrible?
It's the lack of investment in the infrastructure. Because Canada is such a big country with so few, like, you know this, right? We are almost as big as Russia with the population of California.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Second largest country on the planet with the population of one of your states,
yep.
Your biggest state, to be fair, but still, and we're not like, densely populated. We're not like Singapore. Right, where everyone's just in one spot. We're all spread across the U.S. border. So we're a flat country, but we're very, very wide. It's like Nicki Minaj's ass.
That bra's so gross. Ugh, dude, this is the thought and the fact that Kevin Samuels gave her a 9. I'm just like, no comment.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Shout out to Chronic. He did a pretty good roast of Samuels for that.
Yeah, that's an embarrassment, man.
Kevin Simpules.
Yeah.
Oh, Hammer had some very unkind words for Kevin. He did not hold back.
Oh, I bet.
Man, I love Hammer. I cannot get enough of him. We got to get him back in here as soon as we can.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, we'll definitely invite him to the next live stream or something. He said he'd be down, so we'll try and make that happen. Interesting month coming up. Just for, you know, Drex, a lot has happened in the world. A lot has happened in Canada. A lot is happening in the US. And a lot is happening here at the MGTOWN Podcast. It's like, it's been a month of a lot of changes. It
always feels the same to me.
We're rapidly coming up on episode. We're now 4 episodes away from episode 69.
Yeah, I can't wait to have Duke back on. Well, you know, I text him every now and then, so we chat.
Yeah, and Warstarter too. Duke and Warstarter at the same time, right?
Yeah.
Fans have been begging for it, and I said, why not? That's our present to you, the fans.
No, it's going to be a hell of a show, man.
Oh, it will be one of the most unforgettable ones. I almost want to give that to the Library of, the Library of Congress?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, submit that for the time capsule.
They preserve it, yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to put a time limit on that episode. I literally am just going to hit the recorders and you guys go. Whenever you get tired, let me know and you'll be done. You are going back out to Rakata's this weekend. I know Knicks fans have been missing you sorely. Every time I go in there and chat, I always forget that I'm on the show account. So I go and chat and everyone's like, oh, it's Drex. Hey, Drex is in.
I've gone on Nick's chats before. I've hopped in there.
Yeah, like I said, because I do the show accounts, right? I just always forget to log out and change. So I'll chat Nick and then realize it's the show account, and I'm just like, meh, I'll just leave it like this. And then everyone's like, oh, it's Drex. And then C. Goody goes on there and he's like, no, it's just Tim. And I'm like, oh, thanks. I always make sure, though, that when I send you Mr. Y chats, that I do it from my personal account. Because I don't want to use show money to play tricks on you. That seems kind of stupid. Oh, he's got a new voice now.
Oh, Jesus.
Nick does.
wait, who's his new voice now?
Well, so he does the Mr. Richards voice now. That's the lawyer from the Kyle Rittenhouse trial, the Wisconsin Midwest accent.
Oh, yeah.
Your Honor.
Yeah. That shit's so stupid.
And then people will set up chats, and he will have a conversation with himself in Kermit voice and Richard's voice.
Oh, God. Typical then, Nick.
Yeah. He's missed you. I think he is... Of all the people on Nick's channel, he may have missed you the most.
Well, I haven't seen the kids in forever, man.
How long?
It's been all it was the first of the year, basically. It was a New Year's stream.
Yeah, that was the Cuck Murphy, right?
Yeah. So I mean, it's literally been almost 2 months.
Yeah, that's way too long to go without your dosage of Drexels. Oh man. No, I want to send a super chat in that's just like, oh, it's nice to see Drexel back with his best friend, Lady Rackets. And just have I want to see Nick do the, you know, the face that he makes when someone insults his cooking, right? He just gets that, like, he just stares at you with a frown.
I haven't seen the face, but I know Nick's facial expressions, and I can imagine.
Or it's the face he makes when you tell him it's too hot or cold in his office.
Oh, God. Well, he never acknowledges that the air is blowing right on me. So he's always like, I don't know what you're talking about. It's perfectly fine. Because, you know, if you have oscillating air, you're okay. But if someone has direct air just blowing on you, you're like, dude, it's horrible. Oh,
I know. I've been in the vault. I've seen the setup. I've seen where he relegates you in... basically up against the door there.
Yeah, you just start freezing.
Yeah. So it's still funny because the audience doesn't see that. So all they see is you bitching and whining about the temperature. But anyway, that's enough of the banter and small talk. Drex, what do you got for the episode today?
Well, this whole episode is actually dedicated to Shaft. He was the one that came up with the idea. So shout out to our man Shaft. He was like, Drex, you should do a Black History episode. Because, you know, a lot of things got mixed up over time, obviously. You know, people started believing things that weren't true and vice versa. And it was like, you know, it's time to take people and kind of give them like a past, present, and future in this most ridiculous of all, I guess you could say, month-long holidays, right? Because Black History Month is a fucking joke.
Yep.
It's ridiculous. I mean, anytime you start, you know, I mean, it fits into the whole issue of Marxism, right? It's like, why is there a Black History Month? Why is there a Women's History Month? A White People's History Month? A Native People? Dude, no. You don't need any of it, right? But it's always good because, like I said, there's media, and media will go ahead and portray certain people a certain way for better, sometimes for worse. And, you know, people get confused. They'll look at only a finished product. And that's something that I think we all tend to do. We'll just get, you know, whatever's right in front of us and go, oh, well, this is what it is. And then, you know, see a couple of things and, you know, we reaffirm with confirmation bias. Never my intention. So I was like, you know, I'll just go ahead and you know, kind of dive into the thing. Because, you know, anytime you talk about history with anything, there's always three components: the past, the present, the future, right? Because, you know, you're sitting in the now and you're saying, well, how did we get here? So you explain, this is how we got here. This is where we're at now. And based on everything that we've seen, this is where we're going. This is where we're headed. And there's so much that has occurred in the Black experience, because, like, at the end of the day, man, people are people. And, you know, you can't talk about Black history without, you know, addressing the elephant in the room. You know, the one thing that all the Marxists and the Dems and everybody wants to always bring up, which is the whole, you know, slavery, slave trade, all that nonsense. And the history books teach basically, like, there was just a bunch of white people just wrangling Black folks. That's the story, the fiction that they provide to create that racial division, right? And so much of it is untrue. So much of it is, you know, it just comes from a whole idea of misinformation. I mean, hell, up until 1721, Europeans barely even knew the processes, right? They didn't know the processes or the horrors of slavery, right? They knew the end result. They can understand the end result. And someone goes, well, what the hell does that mean? It's the equivalent of going to your local store, right? Best Buy, Apple Store, and you go and buy an iPhone, right? You understand the iPhone costs X amount because, you know, it says, you know, there's parts made here, it came from there. You're like, oh yeah, I get it. But, you know, I'm here just to get this product. Same with hot dogs. You don't know the pain and suffering that led up to that moment. You just know the end result. And then when you find out, you're like, oh, then you yourself make that choice whether you want to proceed with supporting, you know, the product, which is buying the iPhone, or in case in slavery, if you're going to partake in the trade, or, you know, you're going to be a bystander, it doesn't really matter. Because what people always forget is that the essence of slavery in of itself is that every single group of people on earth have been slave owners, right? And we're in this fiction that it's like, the only people who have ever enslaved people are white, and they're, you know, white people are evil. And it's like, yeah, that's not true. White people have primarily enslaved whites. Blacks primarily enslaved blacks. Asians primarily enslaved Asians. And the reason why this fiction keeps getting pushed is that you have to have a bad guy, right? This is where we're at from, you know, socially and politically, that you always have to have this bad guy. And, you know, they don't want to acknowledge that both blacks and whites were slave owners here in America, right? And it was also both blacks and whites who defended the very practice of slavery, right? And the reason they defended it was due to them making money. Because if you're making money, you know, you basically are saying, I want to deregulate. And we see that going on today, right? Deregulation. You know, you don't want someone coming in saying, oh, hey, you can't do that, whether they're the moral police or the financial police, or any kind of police. You want to be able to operate with the law of the land of that time, right? The status quo.
Yeah.
And, you know, they actually estimated that a third of freed blacks in the South were slave owners themselves, right? And the funny thing is, they fought for the Confederacy. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, I knew there were black, there were entire black regiments in the Confederate Army.
Yep. Yeah, this is the fiction that they tell. The fiction is virtually every black person in America, especially in the South, was a slave, right? And they're out there picking cotton. Or you're a house Negro. And then whites just took blacks from Africa. And then people started saying, well, hold on, they weren't taking them. They were being sold. Okay, yeah, so I guess they were being sold. And then they took them over there, and here we are, and it was going to be a fiction needed to be provided. So all white people, like I said, are evil. and blacks basically had no rights, no nothing, even though there were slaves who were actually paid. They don't talk about that, but I definitely will, because you have to know the whole story. The first slave owner in America was black. A black man is the first slave owner. They don't want to tell you that in the books, and there's a reason they don't want to tell you that in the books. One of the things that we know about human nature is that it's always going to be about narrative, right? Because truth is going to always disrupt your narrative, right? And once your narrative gets disrupted, you yourself become exposed. So if you walk around race baiting, like they say, Reverend Al Sharpton, right? Or the Me Too movement, if your whole ideology is based on, I'm going to prove this after the fact, right? That's where you wind up with. So if you truly believe that like all blacks were just being enslaved and being wrangled up and sent over to America, and then you find out that's not exactly close to truth, and then you see blacks fighting for the Confederacy, like, well, I thought all the blacks were Union soldiers. Like, no, they weren't. Uh-oh. You're starting to see the chinks in the armor. You're starting to see the facade start to crack. The narrative is starting to crack. It's starting to break down. You're like, wait a minute. Well, hold on. So what's going on? It was more common in the Caribbean. There were more blacks shipped over to South America than North America. Wait, what? Huh? That can't be. Yeah. Yeah, it is. People don't know that American Indians were slaves, and some were also slave owners.
Hell, we sold each other out.
That's right. And do you know why, Tim? Because everyone does that, right? The Romans, the Greeks, Egyptians, doesn't matter. People do this. This is a part of basically the dark side of human nature, right? I conquered somebody. And one of the things that people need to understand about slavery is, first and foremost, what actually enables slavery? Ultimately, it's a matter of, you know, they say it's basically a matter of vulnerability, which I believe it's just a matter of the loser, right? The vanquished. If we fight a war and you lose and you don't have any aid, there's no one there to help you, well, you're now at my mercy. Well, if you're at my mercy and I want to take the resources that you have, I'll just go ahead and just do what? Oh, I'll just take what you have and then I'll use you to set up shop. You see what I'm saying? So thus, slavery. You're vulnerable. You're weak. When you lose, and it doesn't matter what ethnic group, go look up, it doesn't matter where you come from. Are you black? Are you white? Are you Latino? Are you whatever? Trust me, there's been battles you won and there's been battles you've lost, right? Typically, when you lost battles, wherever you come from in the world, I can guarantee you, by losing battles, the invader took your women, the invader enforced rules and regulations on you, and you are probably enslaved. Right? And that includes warring tribes who have the same skin color.
Oh, yeah.
This is how it works.
You know, the common knowledge is, Drex, who's the number one killer of black Americans today?
Black Americans.
It's not the cops, right?
Nope.
It's not white guys. It's not Hispanics. The number one killer of natives was other natives. They fought each other as often as they fought everyone else.
But this is true of everyone. This is the thing that has to get across to the minds of the people out there who have been deceived. This is true of everybody, because guess what? In order to hurt people, you tend to know the people that you're hurting, right? And when you start to think about, like, you know, a spouse winds up, dead, well, who do they go after first? Who's the very first suspect? It's going to be the other spouse.
Yep.
Why? Because the other spouse has what? They have access, they have intent, and they have motivation, right?
Oh, tell me. If you know any married couple, they absolutely have motivation.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a motivation. And this is the reason why all of these kinds of bizarro stories that, you were attacked by, like I said, they would use black guys as a scapegoat for years, right? Like, oh, I was just attacked. Like, dude, it's not really happening. You know, can it happen? Of course it can happen. It's possible, just not probable. Because at the end of the day, throughout history, most people have been segregated, right? America's not a melting pot. It's not like everybody's just kind of mixed in. No. You have people A is kind of sticking this group over here, this section of a city. People B are in this section. There's still some intersectionality, yes. But for the most part, by and large, no, not really. And these are one of those things that, like, you know, in addressing how did we get to where we are today, it has to be addressed. Because, you know, one of the things that people don't understand, there was over 1 million Europeans enslaved in North Africa from 1500 to 1800, right? And they don't talk about this in history books because they need to have a villain. And it's easy to just say white man bad. And, you know, you have the Alex Haley's of the world, right? And he's the one who wrote Roots. He even admits to it being a myth for blacks to live by. See, a myth. Not entirely true. Little, you know, specks of truth. Certain things are going to obviously be, you know, stretched out. And it's kind of like that old game of telephone, right? When someone says, hey, what happened? This is what happened. And by the time it gets to the 10th person, there's like 1% of the truth left in there. And that's where we're at with a lot of this.
Oh yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people got to understand, man, they were skilled slaves and they were paid. Like I said earlier, they were actually paid. And, you know, we're not talking about cotton pickers, right? Because that's a no-skill, no-brain job, right? Obviously, you know, like I remember Thomas Sowell was saying, like, you know, those who were, you know, cutting sugar cane, you know, out in the Caribbean. Yeah, those kind of jobs are not the kind of things. But, like, when you had to, like, be a guide, things like that, skilled jobs that you couldn't just threaten to yeet somebody because it's like, I kind of need this person, right? This happened to natives, right? The whole, you know, was it John Smith, you know, Sacagawea and all that kind of stuff. They say these things because they know, like, dude, if someone is a scout, if you have a good scout, the last thing you want to do, even if they've been conquered, is to yeet them because they know where the hell you're going and what's going on, right? Yep. And then, of course, in the 1880s, right? That's primarily when Europeans targeted Africa for conquest, right? And, you know, it's not like they're there all that long. We're talking about in the modern era, obviously, right? And yeah, they're not there very long because by the 1950s, Europeans were then withdrawing from Africa, right? And of course, the issue here is that you're going to create a power vacuum. And, you know, one thing that we know about power vacuums is that, like, until you get the right set of circumstances, it's going to be going on for quite some time. You know, you see this like in the drug trade, right? They'll say, like, oh, we got to go after this kingpin, right? This cartel head. Well, as soon as you get rid of them, you didn't solve anything. You know, the drug trade doesn't end. The slave trade doesn't end. None of this stuff ends. Social upheaval does not end. And these things need to start getting taught. Like, this is a human nature issue, right? A lack of compassion from the human side, a lack of humanity. And as there's this power vacuum created there in Africa, what happens next? Well, I mean, you end up with nations, right? And these nations in Africa, they try to mimic the West, right? We got to do what they're doing to be just as successful, right? Yeah. And what's the problem? They went in thinking that they could just go ahead and make their nations industrialize, but guess what? They lacked the skills, the organization, and all of these other tools to establish and maintain this industrialization effort.
Nations bring something else too, and it's nationalism.
Yep. Right?
So yeah, your foundation is absolutely correct. You have a country that is coming apart at every seam because no one knew how to stitch. And then you throw in nationalistic pride, ultranationalism, and what is Africa today?
Yeah. You have the countries that are doing well. And that's another thing. The media portrays Africa as like, everyone there is broke. Oh, no. Oh, no. Trust me. Africa's got money. Why do you think China is investing so heavily in Africa? There's lots more to take, lots more to invest.
You know, it's funny. What is it called? The Belt and Road Initiative? Is that correct?
I don't know if I've heard of that one.
Yeah, the Chinese have a name for their investment in
Africa. Okay, their name, okay.
Yeah, it's the Belt and Road Initiative, I think it's called. Anyways, they are, like, there's been a lot of talk lately about Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum, especially up here in Canada with everything going on. I would argue that the World Economic Forum is, the secretive version of what China is doing in Africa right now. Right? China is not does not hide their ulterior motive. They are extending trillions of dollars of investment into Africa, knowing that these countries cannot pay that investment back. So then they just get to go in and take all the resources and say, well, you owe us.
It's real estate. Yeah, this is happening. I mean, this has been going on for years, right? You set someone up to fail. I mean, this is no different than like the subprime mortgage crisis, right?
Yes. Yes, exactly.
You're betting, here's the thing, you're basically betting on human nature, right? Hey, I'm going to give you this great deal on a house. Damn, I don't know if I can afford that. No, sure you can. Look, the payments are going to be easy, knowing something is going to befall them, right? A pipe breaks, they break a leg, they can't work for a little bit, and then now you're going to go ahead and do what? You're going to repo their shit.
Yep. And you can resell that and make yourself a nice little profit. But also, they sell you on that American dream, Drex. The American dream of you owning a house with a white picket fence and a loving wife and two kids. Drex, where's the American dream now?
Oh, that's been flushed down a toilet.
Yeah. It's been gone since what, the 50s, 60s, maybe?
I mean, hell, to be honest, it was actually
never really existed.
With the 19th Amendment in 1919, that kind of goes hand in hand. Because it kind of ties into a lot of the things that have helped destabilize, right? And, you know, when these nations attempt to, you know, create these infrastructures, you're starting to see that now also. And what you're starting to see is people basically trying to, it's almost like they're trying to ride an escalator to success, right? And, you know, when we look around all around the world, and like I said, there are still lots of issues that are at play, and it's because people didn't go through those growing pains, right? They try to just leapfrog over a lot of problems and say, hey, I'm gonna leapfrog over a problem X, Y, and Z so that I can get to this gold. And it's like, you're wondering why. Like, I mean, it's kind of like when someone plays copycat, right? You hear, back in the days of radio, you hear a hit song on the radio and someone goes, let's just make that sound, right? So they try to mimic it, and you go, how come we aren't selling like that person's selling? Yeah, because they created something. There's more to it than just that final product of it's a catchy tune. And that's what we saw in this region, in this world at large. Because at the end of the day, you had leaders, right? And this is the striking thing about where we came from. A lot of these leaders were educated in the West. You know, people think like, oh, yeah, there's these dictators and there's this. Yeah, no, a lot of them were educated in the West. And you would think, well, what happened, right? They went to Africa with this knowledge, right, to reshape their respective countries. This is actually very similar to, say, Kim Jong-un in North Korea, right, educated in the West. And you're like, well, why is he not a very great leader? Because you start to see all these clashes, right? You buy into isolationism, right? And you ever notice a lot of the countries that have like these harsh rulers, they have a closed economy, right? And in a closed economy, what eventually starts happening? The cracks start to show. People are starving. You get a famine, right? And that's what you tend to see. And then what ends up happening? More and more civil war, right? Especially if people have access to the guns, right? And that's how you get all of this social and political upheaval. And when people say, well, I don't get it. Well, why is this? Well, it's pretty obvious. Because this is what happens when there is a power vacuum. This is what was happening in Africa for decades, right? Long before there was just, apartheid, right? You had these issues. This is why if you go look up military coups in Africa, right? You start to see that there's quite a few. And the coups are what destroy the governments and the social order in the post-independence era. Because, see, a lot of these African nations were looking for their independence from the Europeans, right? And, I mean, we saw this in Asia, too. I mean, hell, look at what happened like Hong Kong, right? Nobody likes being told what to do, right? If you're trying to build something and someone says, hey, I'm going to go build a school, and you have a vision for that school, you don't want someone 10,000 miles away telling you what you can and can't do. So independence is part of the human struggle. And, you know, Africans are human, so you're going to get part of that same struggle. What were you going to say, Tim?
The clearest example for people who are listening to this and are like, well, I can't really identify with this emotion, but Brexit, Drexel, as much as the media wanted to say it was about racism, Brexit was about a bunch of bureaucrats in Brussels telling you, a Brit, what you wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And they that's why they seriously miscalculated it. I remember watching the vote, the referendum results, and Nigel Farage conceded. He said, oh, that looks like we're going to come up short. We lost. But they kept counting, and they started getting into the industrial and rural parts of Northern England. I think Phil maybe will have a bit more insight on this, but what, you know, like the demographics of that population. But they voted overwhelmingly because the narrative was framed as taking back control of your own country.
Yep.
And everyone wanted that.
Well, it's a simple issue, right? I mean, nobody, like I said, no one wants to be sitting there getting told what to do all day and just being forced into basically like being a puppet, right? So yeah, they're going to have that vibe, right? Like, well, hell no, screw you. I want to go ahead and do my thing.
Yeah, you got to be able to see the degrees of separation, right? Like, we listen to our parents. They tell us what to do, right? For the most part, we listen to peers and elders around us, especially in tribal communities like natives, right? The amount of deference and respect we show our elders, the people who've been alive for 80 years and have seen basically everything, right? It's very near and dear to our hearts. And it represents the idea that if you can see, if you have that direct connection to someone who exerts some amount of control on your life, because there's always going to be some amount of control, right? This isn't some libertarian wet dream where you can just do whatever you want and there's no consequences. But you can absolutely accept some amount of control as long as you can interact with the person controlling you.
I believe that, especially as long as you have influence too, right? Like you have access and influence. Because if someone's like, hey, I'm controlling you, but I'm not trying to like basically dictate every aspect of your life, you know, that's what in a republic is, right? You have elected officials.
Yeah. And the further government gets away from the people, the less popular they are, the less trustworthy they are.
Yeah.
I don't know if the cities are a good example of this, but if, the mayor in my city, in Calgary, the people running for the mayor's contest made themselves quite accessible. City of Calgary's a million people, right? 1.25 million people. So they couldn't obviously call and talk to every single person, but they were still relatively accessible. Compare that to Justin Trudeau, and, well, the last month shows us what he thinks of our people. God damn it, mm-hmm. I hate this guy so much.
Yes, you should. I mean, he represents everything that's going to basically ruin your country.
Plain and simple. The control. And I'll give you a great example. So Joe Biden right now is complaining about oil prices, right? You know what? It would have been great if he had built a pipeline to America's most important trading partner, right? Its closest ally since our country existed, essentially. Right? We've had your back in every major war on this planet. And he said, no, fuck you. We don't want your oil. And he kind of wishes he had it now. But Joe Biden took the economy of Alberta out of our hands. We need to export our resources. Mm-hmm. We don't have it's not economically feasible to refine stuff here. We need to ship it to the Gulf Coast. We need to ship it to our markets across the world. Japan thirsts for Canadian oil. They want it so badly because they stopped building nuclear plants, you know, because of Fukushima. And these bureaucrats, these politicians just keep taking these decisions out of our hands.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, I'm ranting and venting. Sorry.
No, it's fine. It goes into social upheaval, social unrest, because, I mean, let's face it, you look at any nation and how do they bounce back, right? They bounce back when the policies, right, leadership is basically aligned with what's going to be in the people's best long-term needs, right? So when you keep trying to go for like short-term gain, you tend to see a lot of problems, right? And like I said, that's one of the things about a coup. When I'm discussing these coups in these African countries, man, these people believe like you know, this overnight thing, this is what's going to fix the problem overnight, right? And not so much, right? I mean, the changes did eventually come to certain countries, obviously, right? And if you look at those changes in, you know, in economic, educational, social policies, right? All of those started to change, and that's what turned the nations around, right? Look, there's a lot of money, a lot of resources, a lot of talent in Africa, right? And you're starting to see that where when someone says, okay, Drexel, where does that lead? Okay, in that backstory about things the way it used to be, you know, debunking the myths of the slave trade, right? That is the distant past. And then we start getting closer to our present. We go into like the civil rights era past. And this is a particularly bizarre time in the black experience because, you know, up until the 1960s, black families were strong, right? And this is like one of those times where as you kind of, you know, put your feet up and, you know, kind of scratch your head and say, okay, how did we get here? You know, pragmatism was fostered and encouraged in the black household, right? It wasn't about being emotional. You had the strong values, right? Discipline being like chief among them. Like that's why, you know, when comedian Eddie Griffin talks about this, and he said, you know, I can't remember the name of his stand-up back then. I think it was called like Dysfunctional Family, but he talks about how like he's like, Mom, you know, whoop the shit out of me just like Joe Jackson did. See, and Cat Williams talked about that, right? You know, they got whooped into being millionaires. It takes discipline and hard work, right? People can always have their criticisms, but it's like if you have someone holding you accountable, it is going to make a difference. But like when you lack that accountability, you start saying, oh, well, I can have 9 babies by 9 men. Who cares? Let me get chase the bag. And, you know, the skills that you need that the black family used to promote, it was one that was going to lead you to prosperity, right? And then someone says, okay, well, Drex, what happened? How did it start going to shit? Well, how else? In comes the black feminist movement, right? Where to begin, right?
The biggest mistake man ever made was domesticating the German Shepherd.
Oh, yeah, it's horrible. It's horrible. But, you know, though, as bad as they are, they're basically still a byproduct because when it comes to the modern feminist movement and the black feminist movement, right, you have a few goals. Infiltration, right? You have to, you know, an outside force has to slither in. Then you have to corrupt it, right? Subversion. And then you go ahead and push it out. That's a divide and conquer method, right? And, you know, the black man is evil and he's your oppressor, right? You start to see this rhetoric, and this is what people talk about now, right? It's this rhetoric that gets pushed. When a person sits back and they say, look, man, how did we get here? And you start to kind of see, where did this whole, like, think about it. Tim, you and I have talked about this. Do you notice that every time you meet a girl who's gone to college, they all say the exact same thing with the same talking points, right?
Well, we have a NPC meme about this. Like, yes, they all say the same thing.
They're the exact like, same, right?
They're like video game characters in the 90s, right? You ever, Drex, you ever play a video game and you like, you're mashing the button to get through the dialogue and you accidentally talk to
again. And it reignites, yep.
Yeah, and you're like, God damn it, I got to go through, scroll this text again. That's exactly what they are.
But that's basically who these people are.
Yeah.
I mean, that's legitimately who they are. And then as we go forward in the story, and someone says, okay, Drex, then what? The year. There's one year that sticks out. 1964, right? 1964 is a very unique year, right? Because women were officially designated as minorities, right?
Which minorities. Doesn't make any sense.
That makes no sense because there have always been more women on Earth than men because men are dying in war. And testosterone kills men faster. And jobs, the labor that men do, kills them faster, right?
Yeah. Not only that, but just the very basic nature of how humans reproduce. A healthy population should have more women than men.
Yep. The things that are going to go ahead and yeet people, like I said, and get them to be in a position where you know, they're not with us anymore. When someone says, how does that happen? It's because the men are the ones taking those high-risk jobs, right? And obviously, there's different reasons why people are doing things and what rewards they hope to achieve. But at the end of the day, once again, human nature starts to rear its ugly head. Greed, right? Greed and envy. And when, you know, you hit 1964, you hit, you know, you start getting with Lyndon Baines Johnson, you know, and people say, well, damn, Drax, how did it get so messed up? Once you designated women as minorities, right? This is when all this affirmative action garbage started coming through, right? And this is one of the things that, unfortunately, a lot of people conflate. They start believing that black men were basically, you know, oh, they weren't even good enough and they were just getting the job. No, no, no. What they were pushing for is saying, hey, I want to be given the same fair treatment if I am skilled enough, right? And someone says, why is this a big deal? It's really simple. When this movement grips its claws into everything, right, starting with the women, of course, they always go after the woman. When you think about this, right, civil rights, right, you say goodbye to civil rights and standing by your man who's the head of the household, right? You say goodbye, civil rights. Hello, women's rights. Do you notice when this era comes at a very unique point in our history? When you abandon civil rights and just being treated fairly, had nothing to do, you know, it wasn't all about the color stuff. It was like, no, I want to be treated fairly, you know, with equality. Once it became about women's rights, this is where things get a little tricky. The government had to convince women that they're better than the man, right? Sign up with me, right? I have more than the father of your children. All of this started getting worse and worse because black women started viewing the black man as competition, right? And you know what though, Tim? Think about when you're in college, right? Do you ever notice the girls are basically trying to compete with you?
Yeah, they really do. And it's, I mean, you know, I'm about to go back to college too, so it's going to be even worse. Law school especially, which has, I don't know the statistics anymore, but I know that women are, there are more women in law school than there are men.
Yep. But who are all your best lawyers?
Men. But also, men are also the worst lawyers too, right? They're like, there's no one in the middle. It's either you're the worst or you're the best. Because you remember Binger from the Kyle Rittenhouse trial, right, that Nick covered?
Yep.
That fucking loser.
Yeah, he was terrible.
But then, of course, you had some really good lawyers too. Anyways. It was always so weird, too, because they have such a chip on their shoulder, but for no reason. Drex, what is the hardest day a woman's ever worked in her life?
It ain't that hard. Well, a lot of it just boils down to penis envy. When you really think about it, right? When you start to say that someone is your competition, yet you're always running to the government to basically nerf your competition, right? Yeah. It's to feed your own delusion, because if you go ahead and compete against the person head-on, you're going to lose every time. In every situation, you're going to lose. So what do? You run to the government by saying, Daddy, government, it's not fair. I'll tell you guys an example of this. Let's just say but this is the arcade era, right? You're a young guy. You walk into an arcade, and you see this really cool game, right? Let's just say, for sake of argument, Street Fighter 2, right? Street Fighter 2 Turbo. You hop in there. You put your two tokens in, right? And you push start, you pick a character, and you just get smoked, get demolished. The guy, because he's a man, he has the discipline, he has the wherewithal, he doesn't go to the government saying the game is unfair. No, no. He grinds, like you said, Tim. It's called the male autism. He's going to make sure he gets better, right?
I mean, some men do that. They are the beta simps.
Hmm?
It's almost like, it's funny too, Drex, because what women do to men is what trans athletes are doing to women. Isn't it fun to watch it just blow up in their face like that?
Well, a lot of things are starting to blow up in people's faces. I mean, even when I look at, you know, what has happened with this movement, you know, with the movement, people got to remember, I think her name is like Shahrazad Ali. I always forget how to say her first name, but like, she's a black chick who has like kind of like that Zulu Nation vibe, right? And when she admitted, it's always funny when you hear it, you know, from the horse's mouth. She admitted black women were always free, right? Even in slave times, they were allowed to be educated. They were allowed to read, be literate, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, you fast forward and she said, yo, not only were they always free, they didn't even need to listen to the black man, right? The defiant nature, right? The Jezebel spirit. And it was the white woman's fight. That's what she said. It was the, you know, feminism, that's the white woman's fight. And, you know, these are the women who become Karens later, right? The bra burning, all, you know, all this craziness, the patriarchy, this, and we got to change the course. Yeah, put your mask on. See, this is the groundwork for it.
You know, it's funny.
And, oh, go ahead.
It's funny because you've drawn an interesting parallel because we were talking about, you know, the era of colonization and the collapse of tribalism. And it was always been about fighting over resources. But always. That's where relationships come down to. Or more specifically, the fight for relationships. Because you talked about the penis envy. But Drex, why are women even in college?
To get the MRS degree.
Do you think that her degree or not a degree is going to make a difference of her getting a job by sucking off the boss?
Nope.
No, they don't need a 4-year degree in journalism to wear a push up bra and go on CNN every night. do you think? No, and especially law school too. Like, I almost think that a lot of girls go to college because they're looking for a high value man.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why they think they'll find a high value man in gender studies, but I call that the female autism, I guess. The female autism, Drex, is not like the male autism, right? The male autism is you will literally starve yourself trying to get good at something.
Yep.
You will forget to eat. You will forget to go to the bathroom. You'll put the controller down and you'll be like, oh, crap, I really have to go to the bathroom, like now.
More or less.
The female autism is taking a premise and then executing the exact opposite of what it would take to resolve that issue. So the premise is that, oh, I'm going to go to college because I want to hook up with a high-value, successful man, but I'm going to major in gender studies.
Yeah. No, well, it's cognitive dissonance, right? And it's an infection that is starting to infect everybody, right? Doesn't matter if you're what side of the aisle you're on, right? Black, white, whatever. You're right, though, Tim. It's like it's that moment where you kind of just realize, right? Because once you realize, you kind of accept it, right? You're like, wait a minute, I just had a thought, and then it hits you like, oh shit, I'm right. Like
she's a thought.
Yeah. You accept it. You're like, oh well, damn. Like you just, all it took was that little bit of self reflection and to look at your own world, and then you know the truth revealed itself to you.
Yeah, and the truth can be scary sometimes, and that is the difference between an incel and MGTOW. Is how scared you are of the truth.
Yeah. Well, yeah, a truth denier is one of those things that is scary, right? And that's, like I said, it's one of the reasons why I was inspired to do this episode from Shaft, because it's like, you know, if someone puts the truth in front of you, right? And now, like we talked about it earlier, and it doesn't fit your narrative, right? Now what do you do? Because I have told you guys, black women, when the feminist movement came to the black community, there were black women who actually said, like, we don't need this. Like, it was always like, you know, matriarchal to a degree because, you know, they would just run to the government if there was a problem. But at the end of the day, black women were used as the foot soldiers for white women, the white women's feminist movement, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, and she even said it. She goes, there's no sisterhood at all between white women and black women. She's talking about, you know, this era in the 1960s, right? 60s and 70s. And, you know, when someone asks, what is their goal? Tim, we've been talking about this. The goal is to destroy masculinity, right?
Yep. Black women have two jobs when they wake up every morning.
Oh, yeah. It's so simple.
You say it every time you talk about German Shepherds on Nick's show, too, right? They have two jobs every morning they wake up. Destroy black men and simp for white lords.
Oh, all the time, too. It's so obvious. It's so obvious. But, I mean, all of this stuff is a problem, man, because here's the thing. They're trying to destroy masculine principles, masculinity in general, because when it came time, right, when LBJ decided, hey, I know what to do. Do you guys notice the government basically was saying, right, you know, because women are born red pill. The government basically says, hey, I'm going to be your provider and protector, right? That's why, you know, Tim, you've heard about these stories, right? That's why women will get up in a dude's face. And then if he just even, you know, looks a certain way, what happens next? She goes to her protector, right?
Yeah, she hides behind someone.
Help, fine, I got to find someone. I got to find a simp, right?
They do that thing. Oh, my God, Drex, they do this thing, too. They will make eye contact with the nearest man, right? And they just, the eye contact, I can't describe the message, the coded message they send, but something goes off in a simp's brain that's like, oh, this damsel's in distress. I gotta go simp for her. I gotta go white knight for her. I've seen this too many times for it to be a coincidence. They literally will just make eye contact with someone. And then he'll come over and be like, hey, is everything okay over here? Ah, God, this has been like an episode.
Everybody's seen it. That, like, I'm laughing because like I'm envisioning times where I've literally seen it.
It's an episode of Epiphanies, I'm telling you. Oh, well, they don't care. Chat saying go after MLK.
Yeah, so MLK, because yeah, that's obviously in my notes here. MLK is a clown. So when we get to like, you know, I said, when we get to the civil rights era, which leads into the women's rights era, and you know, people have to ask the question, okay, Drex, well, how does this all play into each other? This is where things start to really collapse. The government stepped in and said, I'm going to be your provider. I'm going to be your protector. You don't need him, right? And that's why, you know, after, you know, obviously women enter the labor force, that you have both people competing for the same job, the same resources. This is bad. This is bad because what if he doesn't get it? How's he going to support that family, right?
Yeah. Well, and so he was the original race baiter.
Yeah. Pretty much,
Maybe not original, but he certainly is the most well-known.
Well, here's the thing. Black people, no one wants to admit this, but black people were better when they were segregated. And now we're starting to see the whole thing with SYSBM, which I'll get to later, is you're starting to feel that. You're starting to kind of see it and feel it. Like, man, people are just kind of done. Like, yeah, you know, I'm done. But at the end of the day, when it comes to, you know, these roles, right, you have to know your roles because, like I said earlier, the black family was strong. 88% of black babies were born to nuclear families. Mother and daddy was there, right? And you're basically getting a complete inverse. The inverse is all by design, right? That's why they call it, you know, social experiment. And it ain't much of an experiment. They basically had a crystal ball. Oh, we already know what these German Shepherds are going to do, right? And here we are, right? So as we go back and we look at these things, there's this aura that kind of exists, right? And, you know, before Trump, when we go to partisan lines, right? If we just take away Donald Trump, since 1968, no Republican prez, right? Not one, had received more than 13% of the black vote, right? And that's why when a lot of guys, you know, when you deal with someone who's not in that political aisle, he's like looking at you like, why you do that? You know, they're just mocking you. They're trying to hurt you. It's an issue that has plagued that community because what you end up with is everyone has to follow groupthink, right? And Tim, you and I have talked about this, right? When it comes to cancel culture, isn't that what cancel culture is?
It's the mob.
The person's not really offended, right? So then the mob gets involved.
Yeah, I'm offended on behalf of someone else. I've never seen. So you remember when all this crap with Dave Chappelle came out? How many trans, like Did Kress come out and say, I have a big problem with Dave Chappelle. I don't think he should make those jokes. Or was it a bunch of white knights?
Always white knights.
Always. It's ironic, too. A bunch of white people trying to cancel a black comedian. But the irony is lost on them. Drex, they just can't internalize that. They're like, but he's transphobic.
Well, they always say but, right?
Yeah, exactly.
They always say but this, but that. And, you know, that's one of the things that's so important to understand about in the history is that there were so few black men who voted, you know, along certain lines, right? And when people say, how did we get to that point, though? Like, how did the blacks not go through with that, even though black men got the right to vote in 1870, right? That was the 15th Amendment. And if we look at, you know, after the Civil War, right, after Lincoln's assassination, racist Southern white Democrats, they're the ones who won and disputed the 1876 election, right? Because what ends up happening is like you have an election that's won, right? And then similar to what happened with, of course, in our nation, right? 2020.
Yeah.
You're the winner and the loser. Because in your defeat, you basically are like this. Okay, well, I'm basically a sore loser. I'm not going to trust the process. I'm going to take what I want. And the people who are just as disgruntled as you, they jump on. That's how we end up with the compromise. See? 1877 was the compromise, right? And then once again, blacks were stripped of voting rights. Who's stripping them? See what I'm saying? It ain't the independent. It's the white guy was stripping them.
Yep.
Right? Bull Connor. Yeah, look up these creeps, right? They were hosing black folks down and stuff. And this is so important to understand as we get into the present because, I mean, let's face it, you know, early 1900s, right? That marked the large-scale migration. Or rather, the exodus from the Jim Crow South, right? And then when someone says, well, Tim, what happened along party lines? It's really simple. Black men started aligning with Democrats mainly out of necessity because guess what? Democrats were the ones who made the connections with labor unions, right?
Yep.
That's the big thing they don't talk about. It's the labor unions.
The working blue-collar Democrat. That's been a staple of Midtown USA, right? Steel town, all the industrial factories from the Appalachian Mountains. That's always been Democrat strongholds because it was nothing but blue collar, hardworking, middle class people.
Well, they've gone so far away from that, right?
Oh, have they ever?
And well, here's the thing though, when a large group of people migrates, literally just packs up and says, oh yeah, I'm done here, right? So once they start aligning with this party, who is also the same party of the KKK, right? Mm-hmm. So you start getting the labor unions, start getting the big house, everything is good. You just know deep down, right? And one of the things I find very telling about this time, right, is that after, you know, blacks went ahead and did this and they sided, by and large, the blacks still voted Republican until Democrats grifted to civil rights. And that's the 1960s. Black people just followed. You see what I'm saying? That's all they did. They just followed. So that is the setup, right, for the past, right? How we got here, the slavery, civil rights, women's rights, right? And everybody, obviously, there was liberation and everything. It's something that was cause for celebration, ended up becoming a huge detriment. Integration was designed to destroy the black family, right? It had nothing to do with like, oh, we're all equal. No. They wanted to destroy it. It's always built on destruction.
Yeah,
right?
That forced, what is it called? Where Obama started ghettoizing a bunch of white suburban neighborhoods. Like the forcing two people together who don't want to be together is only going to cause division.
I agree with that.
Drex, you have siblings, right? How often did you share a bedroom with your siblings?
Yeah, about that. Yeah, in between playing swords.
Did you ever have like a good friend growing up and then you ended up spending maybe a week together and by the end of that week you wanted to kill each other?
Yeah,
I know I've done that. Unfortunately, it was really bad circumstances. That was when my stepfather kicked us out of our house. So we were homeless and on the streets. So a family friend took us in, and they had a son the same age as me. So like I had known him from school. I wouldn't say we were close, but then at the end of the period of living together, we were constantly fighting with each other.
Of course. How could you not, right? Well, and this is the main thing that comes out of all this, though, right? Is that what you're describing, though, Tim, is that, like, the mind was infected, right? It's the mind, because controlling your body is one thing. It's the mind. It's the spirit, right? And, you know, you look at, like, when it comes to voting, you have to do something to make people become your new target demographic, right? So you just promise them free shit or, you know, better jobs or whatever, right?
Yep.
That's as far as it gets, though, Tim.
Limitless welfare. Oh, that's the thing, too, is the printing press never runs out of money.
Oh, absolutely not. Look, here's the thing. When you can just push a button and, you know, like I said, and that's how, you know, the past, when it, like you said earlier, you know, when it comes to collecting debts, that's how countries as a large scale and people on the small scale, they get caught up. Right? And when someone asks, okay, Drex, well, what is the present? Well, the present, you know, like I said, I'm not even going to beat the dead horse on the single motherhood raid and, you know, the crime and all that. What matters is these are your options and you're the one who created it, right?
Yeah.
And that's the thing that people don't understand. Tim, someone sent me an article today. I think someone also had it in the Discord, right? That's a classic. It was like literally a Boondocks moment. Right?
Yeah. Great show.
And yeah, I know, right? And one of the things that people need to understand, though, is, you know, when a man loses life over a damn cheeseburger, you kind of know what situation you're in, right? And, you know, it says this, you know, Yellow Flash, shout out to our man Yellow Flash, he did a video about it, right? Yeah. A single father shot in the face over a $3 hamburger, man. You can't make this up. You just can't.
Yeah, if I were to tell someone, they'd think I'm lying. If I were to tell someone that, it's like, hey, did you hear this story about a guy who got shot in the face over a hamburger? What? No, there's no way that happened. You're lying.
Yeah. Everyone's going to say you're lying because, like, no one wants to confront that harsh truth, right? That's the thing. They don't want to confront that.
Speaking of Yellow Flash, when's he coming over?
Yeah, no, I know, right? Well, one of the things that's sad, though, is that, like, you know, you read these stories, right? You read all this crazy behavior, and you look at the present. And I know I've always said this, right? Hood culture is not black culture. Those are two different things. You know, people try to conflate the two. And, you know, you look at the current culture, the music, the way they portray black, you know, portray blacks in the movies, the way they portray them in commercials, like, ugh.
I got a question for you. What characterizes a black incel? Because incel seems to be like a white disease, right? I'd almost say the hood culture is the black incel.
Might as well be.
Because, I mean, look at this, right? Okay. Incels come from broken families. There's no one who grew up well-adjusted who just idolizes pussy to the extent that makes them the incel. And also did not grow up with the introspection, the accountability that makes you able to talk to people and function in real society.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I think the same broken family is what gets you hood culture. Because you idolize the escape out of that single mother shithole that you live in.
Well, it's funny you say that because... It's kind of like an endless cycle, right? Well, hey, I see this as a means to get out, so I'm going to do that to get out. But then you don't, and then eventually you just become another stat.
Yep.
And that's what you're starting to see in, you know, we've been seeing, like, in rap culture, it wasn't like that. It became that. Trap music, all these kind of music sources, right? Because they have to push a message, right? And when you see these German shepherds who yeeted the chick literally over a damn hamburger, you just kind of know, right?
Yeah. Apparently he didn't die. Yashkin says,
the bullet's like lodged in him still.
God damn.
Yeah, it's, ugh. I mean, you're never going to be the same.
People can die over the dumbest thing, but then they survive the thing that should kill them.
You're right. It's like walk out the door the next day. Like, no, I'm good.
Well, and you've always said German Shepherds are invincible. They are impossible to kill. You know, when the nukes fly, there will be nothing but cockroaches and German Shepherds left.
Well, it's very alarming, right? When you look at the current culture and they're promoting, you know, guys in dresses and all this stuff and maps and all that. And, you know, blacks were always by far the most conservative when it came to generals. And now they look how liberal they are. It's like, no, because I can't go and do certain things, right? Yeah. And in the culture at large, Tim, imagine someone trying to put you in a box, right? And they just say, like, you know, Tim, you've talked about this, right? Native Americans who are on the res, their life sucks, right?
Yes.
And tell me the main problems. Like, well, you know, what is the main problems with being up, growing up on the res in the Indian reservation?
All right. Well, I mean, you know, look, every problem that's in the ghetto is mirrored on the res. The difference is that the ghetto is usually surrounded by a big city, right? So you got Skid Row, Compton, surrounded by Los Angeles. You have Lower East Side, surrounded by Chicago. You have 8 Mile? Where Eminem grew up, surrounded by Detroit. Like, these are, there are parts of those cities that are nice that you can escape to, right? You hop on a train, you head downtown, and you just hang out at a mall for a few hours, and you can kind of get away from it for a bit. You can't do that on reses because they're so damn isolated. But they have all the same problems: single motherhood, rampant drug use, alcohol abuse, domestic violence, the one major difference is a really high suicide rate, and I think that has to do with the isolation. And the other thing is, Drek, Section 9 house? Section 8 housing?
Section 8.
Section 8 housing. I always get that mixed up. Fucking MASH did that to me. But anyways, the Section 8 housing. If you can't own a house, Drek, what incentive do you ever have to take care of where you live if someone else is paying for it?
Yep. There's no incentive. Yeah, that's why I said, remember I said you need, you know, incentive, you need motivation, right? You need the incentive, the intent.
Yeah.
You need motivation.
I used this example before. Do you remember buying your first bicycle with your own money?
Yep.
How well did you take care of that bicycle?
Oh, it's the most precious thing ever.
Right. It got cleaned every time you came back in. You went out riding on your bike and you would clean it off with the hose. You'd re-oil the chain. You'd wipe off the dirt. If someone so much as knocked it over, oh, you'd lose you'd lose your mind on them. Mm. Well, houses and properties are exactly the same way. If you go and buy your first house, that thing will always be a special place in your heart. Same with your first car. It'll always be a special place in your heart, and you want to take care of it because you earned the money to pay for that. Well, it is illegal, Drex. It is illegal by the Canadian Constitution for Indians to own houses on their own goddamn land.
Yeah, let that sink in. Well, and that's the importance of episodes like this and certain books that know the truth. Like, don't be deceived by this, you know, like I said, white guilt kind of narrative, because that's not true.
Yeah, it's not the white man that holds us down. We hold ourselves down more than anything.
Yeah.
We can't interact straight.
And let's be fair. If you're the white dude who says that something is after you, right, you're holding yourself down too. I mean, isn't that the incel in a nutshell, right?
Oh, yeah.
The guy sitting there complaining about something is like, okay, why don't you build, you know, better yourself? It won't matter anyway.
Go to the gym. Okay. Well, all these fucking giga chads are better than me. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Self-fulfilling prophecy there.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and that's kind of like where we're at, right? And, you know, when the culture starts to permeate every aspect of the larger culture, right? That's why, you know, you can meet a suburban girl. She's out here trying to twerk. No ass having ass, right?
Yeah.
Trying to twerk. And it's like, it's a reflection of the greater culture. Like I said, when I was at the Dick Show, and I was like, I'm witnessing Sodom and Gomorrah 2.0, right? And... You know, and this is what happens when, you know, you have places like the Frankfurt School, you know, which began in the 1930s, teaching all these kids critical race theory and all this. It's like, it's so easy to win. But like a lot of people, I truly believe this, they don't want to win. Harriet Tubman made that famous comment, you know, I saved 1,000 slaves. I would have freed 1,000 more if they knew they were slaves. Most guys don't even know that they're slaves, right? It just is what it is.
Yeah. I wonder if maybe we don't. Maybe we do know we're slaves. We just stopped caring. It's that apathy that. Who talks about apathy the most? Is it Minister Japp?
Sounds about right.
Yeah. Anyways, yeah. We've talked about apathy a lot of times on this show too, and it's. I almost think the apathy is so deep that you know that you're a slave to the government and, daddy government, and you're like, I just don't care.
Mm-hmm. No, see, yeah, I get it. And that's why, you know, when I close out, when I refer to, a great album to listen to is Nas and Damian Marley's Distant Relatives, you know, the origin of so much, right? You know, you look up Black inventors, you know, there's so many things that Blacks have created. It's just about pride. Like, you know, this is even me trying to do, quote unquote, a Black thing. It's more about pride. Like, yo, man, you don't have to feel small or hate yourself because you're so, unique, whatever. Live it. Yeah. Right. Well, and go ahead.
How would you feel if Susan Wojcicki hits you up and says, Drex, I'm going to promote your channel on the front page of YouTube because you're Black? Would you feel like you accomplished anything? Anything at all?
If I get TFM, if it leads to TFM getting back on, I'm cool.
Yeah, I'll smash you, but get TFM back in.
Yeah, right.
No, but I mean, she literally, in that's what's been happening. I think Nick is going to show you this when you do the show with him, but they are trying to promote Black content creators on the front page of YouTube, and they're just manipulating the algorithm to do so.
Yeah,
and I'm like, someone also did a hilarious Photoshop. They put Nick's blackface, they put Trudeau's blackface, they put you on there.
Oh wow!
Instead of the other creators that Susan had put in. But how insulting! Like, and two racial minorities can sit here and say this, right? How insulting is it to just have someone pat you on the back and say, "Good job for being the race you were born"?
Right. Well, and they're obsessed with it, right?
Yeah. And it's I didn't do anything. I didn't earn
this. By you existing, they're basically saying, like, you need a helping hand, or you've been oppressed. And like I said, it's the nature of that whole Frankfurt School. It's the nature of a lot of things. And, like I said, I'll revisit some of the points on this show, because at the end of the day, man, there are alarming things, when it comes to our future, right? We understand the past now, right? What was right, what was wrong. We have an understanding of the present. And it's like, where is this going? If you don't make the right choice going forward, man, you're miserable, right?
Yeah.
You're miserable. Like Tim, I read Black Enterprise, right? It said the Black family's wealth will fall to zero by 2053. $0. As in, by you just existing on Earth, you're basically a zero heir, right? And Latinos are 20 years away from that, right? 20 years behind the Black community. It's coming for everyone, and it's so important to understand this. That's why I'm happy that Shaft asked me about, doing this episode. Because, it's like, you need the full spectrum to understand what's going on.
Yeah. Oh, one more figure the chat wanted you to give your opinion on is Malcolm X.
Uh-huh. Malcolm X. Well, he warned about liberals, as did Ali, as did a lot of people. Malcolm X actually kind of represents, although he wasn't just alone, he kind of represents the very nature of MGTOW, right?
Yeah.
Getting away from the gynocracy, getting away from the communita. And when you see a dysfunctional realm over there, you just kind of let go. One of the things that's so important, right, is that we look at this, the future. And, like I said, feminism won. We look at the Black community as the beta test. And it's like, you can only save the people you can, and the rest of them, you have to, like, leave them to their own devices. But it's like, at the end of the day, you think about how complete this plan was, right? It was so complete. And it's like, here we are with it's a blessing. It's a blessing to be able to be alive on Earth. And to formulate a solution to a problem and say, hey, man, let's get this done, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's get it done. Because, I mean, let's face it, Tim, single motherhood is not going to go down anytime soon, right? So when people ask me, hey, Drex, can you prognosticate the Black community? Oh, it's over. you know, you're talking about black net worth is reaching zero in basically three decades, right? That's one generation. So you're a generation away from reaching just zero, absolute zero, right?
Yep.
Tim, you think the abortions are going to stop? You think the single motherhood's going to stop, right? Just having baby after baby? None of it's going to matter going forward. So it's like the only thing that does matter is exchanging. Yeah, it's over. Like, you have to accept that. Like, you can't look at something and say, oh, no, there's a chance based on what?
Some hope that you have that, oh, if we just get a different politician in there, everything will be fixed.
Yeah. Well, when you align yourself with someone and you start basically not calling them out on their fuckery, you become basically a zealot, right? And it's easy to control someone like that because, like, oh, I'll just make this happen and then announce it and then they'll believe me. You know, obviously talking about, situations where you say to yourself, Tim, SYSBM, right? Save Yourselves Black Men, MGTOW, all these things. These are all reactions. You and I have talked about this, right? This is a reaction to the world we live in, right?
Yep.
And when you react to something, you say, oh, wait, I'm a lot happier and I feel a lot better in this situation than I do others. That's just what it is.
Well, I don't know. Did you have anything else you wanted to go into? I think we've been growing.
Oh, no. I just wanted to, like, yeah, I definitely wanted to address just, like, yeah, everything in terms of past, present, future. Like, and that is it. I mean, that's legitimately where we're at because, I mean, let's face it, Tim. If you were to prognosticate, you know, Canada's fate, right? What if Trudeau just keeps going down the authoritarian path, right? And someone goes, well, what do you think is going to happen? It's like, well, obviously nothing good.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's a great place to start is just say, we're fucked. And what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it, right? Yeah. That's the thing is, like I said before the show, I have a goal in mind. It's a very long-term plan. This is not something that's going to happen in 5 years. I've resigned that I'm going to dedicate the rest of my life to this singular goal. Of course, while also doing other things that I, you know, living, for example. Mm-hmm. But, and that's really all you can do is pick what you're passionate about in life and work towards it. You know, go to the gym, keep yourself healthy and fit, because you're never going to accomplish the things you want to accomplish unless you're healthy and fit.
Absolutely.
And Vader Tak's right. What the hell can most of us do? Drex, you go head to head with the government. Who wins every time?
Oh, yeah, they're going to beat you every time.
Yeah. So, and you can't just check yourself out and stop participating in the society. You'll just starve to death. Homeless, broke, and starving.
Yep.
So, you know, you understand it. If you understand these facts, these truths about the world, then you can coexist. You can get along.
But absolutely. Anyway, well, like this thing, things are being erased, right? Like masculinity is being erased. Achievements are being erased. Tim, you know, we talked about this with Metal Gear Solid 2, right? They're trying to erase basically what makes you, right? Like, this could be a talk about black history. This is the history of man, right?
Yeah. This was Metal Gear. The end of Metal Gear 2 was brought up on Flashcast last weekend.
I can't remember if it was Lofty Pixels or somebody else.
But he's like, they fucking called it, didn't they?
Yeah.
It's come to pass. Everything that they predicted has come to pass. I think Kojima remember? Is
overflow,
like,
overflow of information, censoring the net, blah, blah, blah. Like, every single thing they talk about. Here's what's funny. This is why the parallel to Sons of Liberty is so apropos. Tim, do you remember the reaction to Metal Gear Solid 2 when it came out? Remember that?
Raiden.
I love Raiden, right? I love the character. And here's the thing. When you give someone any kind of criticism, they wouldn't accept it, right? Like I'll give you a prime example. Let's say you're in the fuck Raiden boat, right? But when you ask of that person, hey, tell me what story and character development happened during Snake's tanker chapter, right? They don't have anything, right? All you did just went from point A to point B, right?
Nothing.
Because you already did Snake's arc, right?
Yeah.
People don't see it that way. And it's like, and those are people that you, like I said, you just have to kind of throw your shoulders and just go, you know what, it is what it is. It's the same reason why, like, when I told my cousin, I said, there's only so much about all these topics I can really address, because at the end of the day, a lot of it doesn't even matter to most people.
Yeah. I remember the disappointment in when I was playing Metal Gear Solid and I learned that, since Shadow Moses, Snake and Otacon have been going around the world destroying Metal Gears, I'm like, well, I want to play that game.
Right.
I want to be Snake, literally butt-fucking the entire world's Metal Gear supply.
Well, it's that growth, right? But like Snake, do you remember in Metal Gear Solid, Snake was a certain way. His exposure to Otacon made him start to change, right?
And Meryl.
And yeah, I was going to say, yeah, can't forget about Meryl, right?
Yeah. Now, Drex, how hard was it to get the Meryl ending? Because you have to pass the Ocelot torture scene.
Yeah.
Oh, and it was one of the first anti-cheat systems I ever realized, because I would Game Shark the full health, but Otacon didn't give a shit.
Yeah, he actually warned you. Yep.
Yeah.
That was a great time. That was a great era in gaming. But yeah, like I said, I hope you guys enjoyed this. Like I said, it's more of one of those kind of much more like informative kind of episodes of going backwards. So I thank Shaft for the inspiration for the episode, because it's like, there's so many ways to get out of these problems, and yet you know how humans are, Tim. The just like the black people who have sided with the Dixiecrats for all these years, you're starting to see that same thing happen on the flip side, right? With a lot of the cis white males and others with the back the blue, and now you've seen how they flipped on them. You see what I'm saying? It happens that quick.
Well,
and you're like, damn.
They have to be told too. So every single conservative I've talked to since this border stuff started, I have just been red pilling the fuck out of them, because they're like, well, you know, it's not the police's fault. They're just following. No, shut up. All right. I told you the story of the one guy who tore his badge off, threw it at his commander and said, I'm joining the protesters.
Yep.
Right. Okay. So are you telling me that him and the guy who's still wearing the uniform are the same person? Because that's what it sounds like you're telling me. That they're still the same. They're at the same level. And they're like, well, no. Oh, and who was the story I told you, the guy, the hockey player who got arrested for just playing on an outdoor rink.
Oh, I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, that was a video sent way back.
I mean, it's at the point now where guys just have to do what Malcolm X talked about, which is you have to literally segregate, man.
Yeah. And I said, who is the one who is more than happy to arrest you for the crime of playing on an outdoor hockey?
Oh, God, yeah, they can't wait, man.
Yeah, and it was two female cops, too.
I'm shocked.
And they were wrestling this big guy on ice skates, and I'm like, oh, that's a great way to get a femoral artery cut. Anyways, and so I explained this logic out to people. Then I used a line, right? So a woman calls cops, says you hit her. Who's spending the night in jail?
Oh, yeah, it's going to be you.
And
every
who
time.
Put you there?
The cops. Yeah, also you. See, here's the thing. In a way, though, it's not the cops. In a way, it's you. Because by allowing yourself to be in the situation that you know what's inevitable, it's kind of like it's the same reason why Nick said he won't go to a rally, right? Or like, what is he, a march?
Yeah.
Right? Like a demonstration? Because it's like you're inviting all these things into your life now.
Yeah. But anyways, I've been slowly working them over, and I'm getting them to start to realize, like, oh, wait, the cops are our enemies. I half jokingly tell this story, but a guy came up to me, and he's like, I bought my Antifa membership the other day. Defund the police. I'm all on board. I'm like, oh, wow. Yeah. Never the day I thought I'd see, a rural conservative farmer, right? Just your typical Christian conservative, right? Praise to God. You know, God willing, love God, God help you, right? And then these Black Bloc Antifa protesters, never thought I'd see them agree on something.
I agree with you there.
But hey.
Well, that's the reason why everybody's kind of finding their own thing, right? That's why we got Red Pill channels, Red Pill media. Like, everyone gets it at different times in different ways, right? Like, you said it earlier. You said, well, Drex, at least it's one more guy, right? obviously, you know, it is what it is. Sometimes maybe it's going to be something that's unfortunately tragic that makes people finally wake up and say, okay, yeah, now we're done.
Yeah. It's getting there. I mean, watching horses run over elderly people was a pretty awakening moment in this country.
That was sickening.
And first of all, they tried to deny it. Then they tried to say we threw a bicycle at them. Then they tried to say we photoshopped the image to take the bicycle out.
Of course.
Never. Does it ever hurt to tell the truth? Just one. Drex, isn't it easier to tell the truth?
Well, yeah, then you have to keep track of a bunch of lies.
Yeah, and you don't look like a complete idiot in the process.
It's such a shit show, man. But yeah, that's why I say SYSBM. That is the future.
Yeah.
It's the future for white guys. But like, that's what MGTOW is. Tim, we accept what it is rather than like really, you know, go out, like you said, go out there and like fight, like, but I got my AR or whatever. It's like, because you know you're not going to win. So you're like, rather than do that, you go, I'm just going to separate and segregate from society, man.
Yeah. Great. Now you're full of holes in your worm food. Congratulations. Yep. You really stood up for yourself. But I've got some emails to read through. We had a busy week for emails this week. We got a follow-up. Someone sent us an email a while back about their younger brother falling into the clutches of a single mother.
Ugh.
Well, we have an update. Sadly, despite our best efforts, he decided to shack up with her and even went so far as to ghost our mother about his whereabouts. He arrived stateside and no one knew where he was until a friend spilled the beans that he was living less than 10 miles away. So today I mourned the man that could have been taken out and replaced with a military simp paying for another man's kid.
Ugh, God.
Well, that's where you just say, all right, we're done. I tried.
Well, like, that's all you can do is really, I mean, damn. You know like what I mean? Drex, it's one of those like, ugh.
Drex, if you saw your brother driving drunk, right? You know, he shot a bunch of liquor, grabs a car key, says, I'm going out for a ride. What do you say? Hey, man, you probably shouldn't do that.
Give me those keys.
No. Shut up. Give me those keys. And he's like, no, fuck you, man. He just kind of, you know, socks you in the face, in the eye. And you're like, all right, I'm fucking done. You go ruin your life, man. I don't give a shit.
You started to sound like me. It's acceleration, right? They won't save themselves, man.
Yeah. Well, you can't help someone who won't save themselves. You cannot.
Nope.
That should be the, like, what, fourth rule of Drexology is you cannot save people. You are not Jesus.
It's so easy, but they won't listen.
Double standards, this email is called. Hey, found this article talking about a renter hitting on her landlord and people thinking it was funny and adorable, but can't help how people would think if the situation was reversed. You saw that posted in the Discord, right? This girl was late with the rent, so she tried kind of, you know, with the landlord, and he's like, no. Also, rent's due. Pay up or you're getting evicted.
Don't you like those options? Rip.
But no, our emailer brings up a good point. If the situations had been reversed, right, if it was a male tenant who was not late for the rent and a female landlord, and he said, hey, maybe I could satisfy you in other ways.
Oh, God. Game over.
Yeah. Fucking burn the house down, but. This one's called Marriage. My friend has never had any success with women, mostly from an insistence that they hold the same religious values that he does. So, oh yeah, he's one of these chasing religious women guys. How does that work for that? How does that work out?
Not well.
Not well at all. Ultimately, his family set him up with a girl from the home country. And partly due to COVID, have had to keep the relationship strictly long distance. Oh, great. Now you're on a religious and long distance relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Now he was finally able to visit her in person and immediately proposed.
Oh, no. Oh,
He's already talking about not just stopping his regular anime purchases, but selling off some of his collection to accommodate her. Drex, this is literally Prince Harry. He's giving up all the best anime.
He's giving up, yeah.
He's selling his prized anime collection to be with this woman. It's Prince Harry. Prince Hentai, more like it.
I have no word. My soul is dead.
He has no relationship experience, and to no surprise, it turns out she has a lot of relationship experience and is very sexually aggressive. Of course, there's no telling him to even slow things down. His mind is already made up. Should I purchase his collection from him for when he changes his mind?
Oh, God. Yeah, minor Prince Harry is right.
Should I purchase the anime collection? No, don't give it back to him if he changes his mind. I mean, if you want it because you like anime, then go ahead and buy it. But don't give it back to him. Wow. When he eventually comes crawling back and says that she's cheating on him and, you know. How do I reach these kids, Drex?
Somebody's doing a trick.
Oh, here we go. We got an email called Cuckservative. My friend is very against thottery and simps. Yet whenever I mention how women as a whole are the driving force behind the fuck shit agenda, he immediately balks. If I say there's an inconsistency between abortion and fetal homicide, he's apt to go about how he had his wife get an abortion and how government aid and child support helped his sister raise her kid. Is this when keeping it real goes wrong?
Oh, God.
Yeah, I told you, we had a busy week with the email box this week. I get these, right? And I read them, and I'm just like, oh, he's going to love this one. Oh, he's going to really love this one.
Well, I was sitting there, looking at this article while listening to this, and I'm like, just all you want is like a sliver of hope.
Oh, no, they keep reminding us there is none.
There is no, I mean, it's just like, dude, like,
Oh, yes, A Tale of Two Time Machines. That was a video someone put up on BitChute. I haven't watched it. I'll save that to next week. Maybe we'll do a review on it. We did get, I already did that one. Someone sent us the game file for Conker's Pocket Tales. It's for the Game Boy Color.
I actually remember that game vaguely.
Yeah. A problem, though, is that because we are a show that is monetized, it would be very illegal for me to stream any content that has come from piracy.
Oof.
That would get us Susan so fast. You know how Nick's got a copyright strike pending right now?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would get us blown the fuck up so badly. Like, not even Ammer could stick up for that one because we are literally breaking the law.
Damn.
So, I appreciate it, but unfortunately it is for our personal enjoyment only, and we were not able to share it with you. But, Bustanut, the guy who called in from the Valencrimes Day stream.
Oh, yeah.
He finally got back to me, so he said he is down to do a show whenever you want.
Oh, nice.
We caught him during exam time. It's midterm exams. See. So he said now things, you know, they're on a reading break or whatever. So he said everything's cool now. He gave me his phone number, so thanks.
Oh, nice.
And I said he's on the West Coast, so he's in the same time zone that RPM is.
Yep.
Pacific time. So he said, just let him know what time works best, and he'll set the time aside.
Oh, definitely.
But yeah, we can do that for episode 66. We can do part one of the German Shepherd zoology series. The German Shepherd tales. I've, and then, yeah, so part two would be to invite Aiden Paladin in. I don't know if she's got any good anything good for German Shepherds. I just the instinct is that she will have stuff that because she knows about hybristophilia. She yep. knows about pair bonding. She knows these terms and knows their very technical and academic backgrounds for them. So I think I'd love to have her in to talk about our German Shepherd tales. And then, of course, I will send the invite to Minister Japp.
Oh, of course.
But that would be something, is to have him come in and you two just roast German Shepherds for 2 hours. I will queue up all the twerking videos you could think of. We'll do twerking at funerals, twerking at Popeyes, twerking at the office.
Oh, it doesn't matter, man. They'll twerk at a damn twerk convention. Like it's all the same shit, man. It's horrible.
That is a real thing, you know.
Yeah, I mean, we got the kids are out of control. Everything's out of control now because you know it went to shit.
But yeah, I think we'll get Bustinette in for next week. So when you get back from Nick's, let me know what's a good time. If we can do the Tuesday evening slot like we normally do, I'll let Busta know.
Oh yeah, we'll figure it out.
That's all I got for emails. We've been going along a long time. I'll save the rest for next episode.
Perfect. But, I'm about to go get some rest so I can get ready for work tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you guys know how to find us and support us. YouTube.com/MGTOWNPodcast, Patreon.com/MGTOWNPodcast, Subscribestar.com/MGTOWN-podcast, MGTOWNPodcast.locals.com, MGTOWN.show/about. Okay. Stay frosty, everyone.
Stay toxic, Kings.